Welcome to episode 40 of the 3M Fear podcast. This story takes place in May of 1963 in the Sierra Madre Oriental, a mountain range in Mexico. Sebastian Guerrero, a 14-year-old boy from a remote village, decided to explore some caves in the mountains. The people in his village believed that there might be some hidden treasure there, and Sebastian was curious. As he walked towards one cave, he noticed a strange light coming from it, even though hardly people visited there, especially at night. He heard screams and what sounded like chanting or singing. He was scared, but he still wanted to know what it was, and so he approached this cave. What he saw terrified him. He spotted a group of people and a woman emerging from a smoke. It seemed like a ritual, and Sebastian wasn't sure what he was looking at. His instincts kicked in. He ran down the mountains and towards the nearest police station, which was nearly 10 miles away. When he arrived at the police station, he was scared, exhausted, and he didn't have words to describe what he had just seen. The one thing that he told the police was that he had seen something about vampires. But the police didn't take him seriously. I mean, why would they? Vampires? They thought that the kid's imagination was running wild. Sebastian couldn't forget what he had just witnessed. And the very next day, he went back into the police station and once again asked for help. Finally, one officer named Luis Martinez decided to help him. He and Sebastian both drove back to the cave and walked inside. Hours passed, neither Luis nor Sebastian returned, and Luis's colleagues were afraid. They didn't know what had happened to the two of them. They tried to reach him via radio, but there was no response. As the day turned into night, the police officers decided to investigate further. They visited Sebastian's village, but the boy had not returned either. Worried that something may have happened to their colleague, the police requested assistance from the Mexican army. A military unit joined them in their search. When they reached the cave, what they found would shock the world. But to understand the full story, we have to go back 6 months to December of 1962. Hello and welcome to the 3AM Fear podcast. I'm Nikita Ferrao, mystery and thriller author. On this podcast, I talk about real crimes and real people. Due to the graphic nature of some of this content, listener discretion is advised. You can find the episode show notes on my website 3amfear.com. Let's get started. This case takes place in the 1960s. There was a tiny village called Yerba Buena in Mexico. It was nestled near the Sierra Madre Mountains, and it was so small that it could hardly be called as a village. It was more like a farming community. About 20 families lived there. That was the entire population. 20 families. It was less than 100, so you can imagine. These families had been sent to Yerba Buena by the Mexican state to establish a farmland in this area. The villagers were mostly uneducated, but as much as that, they didn't know how to read and write, but they were very good at what they were doing. They were poor, they lived in isolation, they were far away from the world. As I said, despite lacking education, the villagers were highly skilled farmers. They knew how to cultivate crops, how to make a living. Their life was very simple and comfortable. Neighbors knew each other, there was no worry about anything wrong going on. They were like a very close-knit family. But something sinister was about to happen in this quiet village. Something straight out of a horror movie. A young woman named Magdalena Solis only 18 years old, was about to become the leader of a cult that would engage in shocking and horrifying activities. This cult was obsessed with vampires, and their actions would send shockwaves through the entire village. In 1962, two brothers named Santos and Cayetano Hernandez arrived in this village. Everyone noticed them because they were newcomers. And of course, as I said, the village was too small, so for these two brothers to stand out was not uncommon. Now, the Hernandez brothers did not come with good intentions. They had a history of conning people. They would go to a place, con people, and then to the next. They used amateur magic tricks for their benefit. One day, Santos and Cayetano decided that they wanted to pull off the biggest trick that they could. They were tired of their old amateur tricks. They wanted to do something big. When they came to this village, they realized how defenseless the villagers were. The villagers had no idea of what was happening in the outside world, and they decided that this was the best place for them. The brothers walked into the village, and their presence immediately caught everyone's attention. No one had an idea of what was about to happen to them. Santos and Cayetano immediately made a grand announcement to the entire town. They said that they were prophets sent by the ancient Incan gods. According to them, their mission was to deliver an important message to the villagers. Now, the villagers were curious. Two people had come saying that they were prophets. They wanted to know what it was. The brothers told the villagers that if everyone followed their guidance faithfully, then the Incan gods would descend from the heavens and bless them with precious gold from the mountains. This promise immediately grabbed everyone's attention. But there was a catch. Santos and Cayetano warned everyone that if anyone did not obey their instructions, then they would be considered heretics and would face punishment from the gods. This announcement left the villagers in fear and excitement. You see, that time there was a belief that there was a lot of gold lying buried in these mountains, and the villagers knew about it. The brothers also knew about it, but no one knew where this gold was. So the brothers used this knowledge to their benefit. As days passed, rumors began to spread that the brothers had magical powers. As I said, the villagers did not have much information. They didn't know much about the outside world. So these brothers, using their amateur magic tricks, was enough for the villagers to believe that they were sent by the gods. Now, the exact nature of what kind of tricks these brothers used is unknown. The town was left in suspense. They could see that the brothers were using magic. They had no idea where this magic was coming from. Now, there was one problem. The brothers had not done their homework. They mistook the Incan gods from Peru for the Aztec gods from Mexico. But surprisingly, the villagers did not notice that the brothers did not use the correct gods when talking to them. The first thing that Santos and Cayetano did was ask for money and valuable possessions, and the villagers happily gave it to them. They even provided the brothers with the best hut in the village, located near a mountain cave. The villagers catered to their every need. They waited on the brothers day and night. But Santos and Cayetano were not happy. They had everything that they wanted. They got all the gold, they got all the possessions. But now what? The villagers were not too many in number, so there was a limit to how much they could give these brothers. That is when the brothers came up with a dark plan. They began selecting the most beautiful girls in the village and told their parents that the gods had sent them a special message. They claimed that the gods desired these girls, and the parents, trusting the brothers, agreed. The brothers started handpicking the most beautiful girls in the village. And then they would first teach the girls everything about sexual acts, different kinds of positions. And once they knew that the girls were ready, they would force these girls to perform these sexual acts with them. Now, neither the girls nor their parents knew what was happening to them. They thought that it was the gods who wanted this. If they ever refused, the brothers would just say that the gods were not happy, and so they were forced to accept whatever was happened to them. After weeks of torture, the girls would then be taken to some nearby towns and then sold, mostly to brothels. And all this while, their families would be there sitting and thinking, this is what the gods want. Now I want to mention here that these girls were anywhere between 14 to 16 year olds. This is a typical cult behavior. When the brothers sold these girls, it kind of became like another source of income for them. The brothers would not only force the girls, but they also started taking women and men from this village. Now here is where it all starts to become weird. They not only did these acts, but they also introduced a series of bizarre cave ceremonies. They further wanted to manipulate these villagers. So during these ceremonies, they would get all the villagers to come inside a cave. Once the villagers were inside the cave, an altar would be set up. And then the brothers would initiate their rituals. The brothers would start by chanting, burning incense, and passing around marijuana. They also prepared a tea infused with peyote. If you don't know what that is, it is a bluish green cactus native to Mexico and the United States, and it's known for its hallucinogenic properties. So basically, they were all getting high. After this, the brothers would proceed to sacrifice a goat. They would slit the animal's throat as an offering to the gods. And after the sacrifice, the brothers would declare that the gods had conveyed a message. The atmosphere in these caves at this time would be really scary. Because imagine this, it's a small cave, you have these villagers all standing there with an altar, performing these rituals, sacrificing an animal. It was all too scary, and all while they were high. And if this was not something that would get worse, after this, the brothers commanded the villagers to take part in an orgy. The entire process is just creepy and disgusting. There is no possible reason other than the brothers being crazy for them to force the villagers to do all these things. All in the name of religion. As time passed, the brothers continued their cave ceremonies. They were living their best lives. The villagers were looking after them, giving them whatever they needed, and whenever they wanted, they would have their cave ceremonies. But the villagers, on the other hand, they noticed that nothing different was happening to them. They were doing whatever the brothers were asking them to. So why weren't the gods blessing them? Why weren't they getting something out of it? When the brothers first came, they had made grand promises, saying that if they listened to them, if they did whatever the brothers said, the gods would soon reveal themselves. But what happened? Whispers of doubt and skepticism spread through the community. The villagers couldn't ignore that the brothers were receiving everything, but they weren't getting anything. Now the word of whatever was happening with these villagers reached the brothers. They knew that they had to take some immediate action, because if they didn't, the villagers would soon understand that the brothers were just fooling them. They had already established a good ground for themselves in this village, and they didn't want to let it go. In a desperate bid to regain control, the brothers came up with another plan. They decided to go to Monterrey to seek help from one of their associates in the sex trafficking trade. This man's name was Eleazar Solis. Eleazar was one of the people whom these brothers were selling these girls to. Eleazar was known as the local pimp. They told Eleazar that they had a plan to find a woman who would accompany them back to Yerba Buena, who would pretend to be an ancient goddess. They basically wanted to find a woman who would come with them back to Yerba Buena and act as an ancient goddess. While they couldn't deliver the promise of treasure, they thought that if they brought a goddess and showed that, see, we brought you a goddess, then the villagers would believe them. It was kind of a last-minute effort to try to gain the villagers' trust back. Eleazar was happy. He suggested taking his sister Magdalena. They took Magdalena Solis up to the cave in the mountains, hiding her behind some rocks. Magdalena and Eleazar, along with the brothers, returned to Yerba Buena, preparing for Magdalena's grand performance. They wanted to make it look as if she was the grand Aztec goddess with the headdress, a necklace made of bones, and the perfect costume. At some point, the four of them decided that Eleazar would also join in on this trick. He took on the role of the high priest, likely because maybe he wanted to be a part of the plan. It seems like Eleazar suggested Magdalena because he himself wanted to be in the plan. The brothers went back to the village, gathered all the villagers, telling them that there was going to be a special ceremony in the cave. The villagers gathered in the cave, and then the Hernandez brothers began their usual chants, lighting the incense, preparing the marijuana and the tea. But then Magdalena's brother comes up to the altar and joins the brothers and declares himself to be the high priest of the ancient goddess Cuatlicue. Suddenly, a deafening sound rang out and a thick cloud of smoke enveloped the place. As the smoke cleared, the villagers were shocked to see a woman emerging. They couldn't believe their eyes. It seemed as if an ancient goddess had truly appeared, just as the brothers had promised. She leapt through the smoke and declared herself to be a reincarnated Incan goddess. She threatened to harm any villagers if they did not obey her. Now the villagers were completely convinced. The brothers were telling the truth. This was a real goddess, and they obeyed everything that Magdalena said. The plan had worked perfectly. But something unexpected happened. Even though Magdalena knew that this was a trick, she was just fooling the villagers, there was something about getting this power, knowing that she was in control of all these villagers, and it all went into her head. As time went by, Magdalena truly started to believe that she was the Incan goddess. She used threats to take control of the villagers from the Hernandez brothers. The brothers who had originally created this plan were now kicked out of it. Unexpectedly, Magdalena started abusing these villagers and demanding that they provide her with blood. She convinced herself that drinking blood was essential for her survival, and she would force these villagers to go out, slaughter their animals and pets, and then bring blood back to her. Magdalena continued what the brothers had initially started. The same rituals, the torture, pimping out the village girls, everything. She did everything that the brothers did. But she took it one step further. As I said before starting the ritual, they would make this tea that they would drink. Magdalena commanded the group to change this tea into blood. She began cutting and draining her own blood into a chalice, and then she would mix that with peyote and drink. She would then pass on the cup to others, and they would do the same. This is where the whole idea of vampire started. Magdalena told the villagers that they should drink this because they would get magical powers and would help them become immortal. When they started doing this, she suddenly realized that they would do anything that she asked them to. She forced them to participate in pedophilia, incest, and even bestiality. She had completely convinced herself that she was the goddess. Weeks passed and the villagers endured all this horrific treatment until two villagers could not take it anymore. They didn't believe that Magdalena was a goddess or that the Hernandez brothers were the prophets, so they planned to escape from the village. Unfortunately, their plan was discovered and the Hernandez brothers informed Magdalena. In response, she ordered all the villagers to gather in the cave for another ceremony. As the villagers, including the two villagers, gathered in this cave, they had no idea that Magdalena knew that they were about to escape. As they gathered in this cave, she singled out those two men and then ordered the rest of the villagers to kill them. Without hesitation, the other villagers attacked and beat these two men to death. After their gruesome deaths, Magdalena had their bodies strung up on the pikes in the back of the cave. She had set up this horrifying scene for a reason. She took a chalice and pressed it against their bleeding bodies, filling it with blood. She then drank from the chalice. Something changed in Magdalena at that moment. I know I said that she believed that she was the goddess, but at this point, after drinking their blood, she realized that she needed to consume human blood in order to maintain her supposed goddess status. From then on, she regularly ordered these villagers to come in the cave, do this whole ritual, and she would take the blood from the villagers. No one knew who the next sacrifice was going to be. The villagers always lived in fear, knowing that the next time a ritual was going to happen, somebody was going to die. This was not just animal blood that she wanted. She wanted human blood. As time went on, the fear in the village grew. Magdalena continued her gruesome rituals, demanding sacrifice of villagers. Those chosen to be sacrificed were beaten to death by others, and their bodies were then strung up on the pikes for Magdalena to drink their blood. Even during the whole ritual ceremony, where initially Magdalena would cut herself, put a little of her blood in the chalice and drink, there she stopped using her blood and started using the blood of villagers. First, they would kill the victim. Once the victim was dead, they would drain the victim of their blood into the chalice, collect in this chalice, mix the blood with chicken blood, peyote, whatever they needed to, and then consume it. And after all this, they would engage in orgy. What became even more disturbing was that Magdalena believed that beating up her sacrifices was somehow spoiling the blood. So what she did was she started having these men strung up while still alive. She would carve their hearts out before drinking their blood. So about 6 weeks into Magdalena's horrifying reign of power, an unsettling event happened in May of 1963. A 14-year-old boy, Sebastian Guerrero, who had no ties to Yerba Buena, came and saw this ritual happening. As I said in the beginning of the episode, he was wandering around the area, he reached this cave, and then he saw this happening. He saw the whole ritual happening. As Sebastian roamed the Yerba Buena vicinity, something caught his attention. Flickering lights coming from a cave near the mountains. This was an unusual sight. He had never seen it before, and so he was compelled to see what was happening. He approached the cave's entrance and he began hearing these strange, unsettling sounds. There was a mix of human and wild animal noises. But despite being scared, he was still curious. He wanted to know what was happening. And so he continued. What Sebastian saw inside the cave was a nightmarish cult ceremony. He saw a woman standing near the altar, clutching what appears to be a human heart. On the cave floor, people engaged in explicit and disturbing acts. Some were passing around a substance that looked like blood, and they were drinking it. But Sebastian's horror reached his peak when he noticed a dismembered body lying on the altar. It became chillingly clear to him that these people were drinking the victim's blood. Scared, Sebastian fled from the cave. His mind was racing, his heartbeat was out of control. He just needed to reach the police station. Sebastian found himself in a dire situation. He had just witnessed the scariest thing of his life. The nearest police station was a long 15 miles away in a town called Villa Grande. He didn't stop running until he reached the police station. When he arrived at the police station, Sebastian started narrating everything that he had seen. At first, the officers didn't believe him. I mean, how could someone believe that? It was a crazy story. But Sebastian kept on repeating, and the more he started talking, the more the officer started listening to him. Finally, Officer Luis Martinez, he was moved by Sebastian's condition and he volunteered to come with him to Yerba Buena to see this place and what Sebastian was actually talking about. Days passed. Back in Villa Grande, the other officers were getting concerned because Sebastian and their officer had been gone for a very long time and they had no idea what happened to the two of them. An official investigation was launched with a focus on both Martinez and Sebastian vanishing in this area around Yerba Buena. As part of their inquiries, they began questioning locals in the border towns near Yerba Buena. Troubling reports started to emerge and people started sharing their stories about this ancient ceremonies, devil worshipping, everything that was happening in the area. The officers were now alarmed because they just realized that everything that Sebastian had told them actually happened. They quickly contacted the military for assistance. A large group of officers along with the military personnel descended upon Yerba Buena, heading straight for the farmhouse that had become the main center for all these horrific events. When the police finally located Magdalena and her brother Eleazar's hideout, they made a shocking discovery. They burst through the door and they found the siblings in bed, completely intoxicated from drugs. Alongside with them was Santos Hernandez, who quickly realized that they were being raided and tried to escape. While some officers caught hold of Magdalena and Eleazar, others ran behind Santos as he tried to flee. A shootout happened, resulting in Santos being shot and killed. A thorough search of the property followed, revealing the gruesome truth. Officers found the bodies of Sebastian and their officer Luis Martinez, both of whom had been brutally murdered. Officer Martinez's heart had been ripped out from his chest, revealing the horror of what had just happened to him. With Magdalena and Eleazar in custody and Santos dead, the one question remains: where was Cayetano? During the search, police found Cayetano's lifeless body. He had been murdered by a cult member named Jesus Rubio. But here's a shocking twist. Rubio didn't kill Cayetano out of revenge. Instead, he wanted to join in on the deception. And when Cayetano said no, he got angry and Rubio killed him. After the chaos settled, the police conducted a thorough search of Yerba Buena, including the cave where the cult ceremonies had taken place. They found evidence of everything that Sebastian had claimed and the bodies of six more victims dismembered and left in the caves. It is believed that Magdalena had sacrificed and consumed the blood of at least 15 villagers over a period of 6 weeks. However, only the remains of Luis Martinez and Sebastian Guerrero could be positively identified. Magdalena and Eleazar were sentenced to 50 years in prison, and the surviving villagers who had participated in the sacrifices were also brought to justice. Surprisingly, none of the villagers ever testified against Magdalena or her brothers. They were afraid of Magdalena, but I'm assuming that they still believed that she was some kind of a goddess, and that's why they were afraid and they never spoke out. It was years later on that some of them came forward and then told the story of what had happened to them. I tried to check up on what happened to Magdalena. Some reports say that she is dead, but I'm not 100% sure. This is a typical cult type behavior. Now, if you don't know, a cult is basically a group of people who strongly believe in a particular set of ideas or a leader. There is usually a cult leader, the cult leader determines the rules, and the other members follow them. Now, cults can be very harmful because the leader is the one who controls the others' minds. The leader is the one who sets the rules, and it is up to the leader to decide what the cult members would do. Usually, cults are not associated with something good. They are with something bad, as with this case. With this, we come to the end of Magdalena Solis' story. This is a typical cult story. You can see Magdalena believed that she was the goddess. She was dictating the rules. The Hernandez brothers first came and took all the gold, all the money from the villagers. The first step of getting into a cult, you give up all your possessions. The villagers gave up all their possessions to the Hernandez brothers. They believed everything that the Hernandez brothers said. And when Magdalena came into the picture, they started following everything that Magdalena was telling them, including killing their own people. If you would like me to cover more cult type episodes, then let me know in my DMs on Instagram. I'll link it in the description. I would love to cover more stories. A big thank you to all my fellow listeners who have been listening to all my episodes. Thank you so much. Your listens, your support means a lot. If you love my podcast, if you love the stories that I put out, then please do follow me on whichever podcasting platform you're listening from. And please do leave a rating. It will really help me a lot. You can listen to me on other platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcasting platform. If you are in India, you can always listen to my podcast on Gaana or JioSaavn. If you love to listen to strange and mysterious stories, then follow me on Instagram and YouTube, where I put out reels on such stories. These are completely different from the ones that I put out on my podcast, so do follow me on them. If you love travel, you can follow me on my travel channels. I'll link them also in the description. Until then, stay kind and stay safe out there.